welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Lincoln Blue Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune, and before Trevor and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Lincoln head coach Jermaine Gales.
We can bounce back to last week here real briefly. I assume that one got a little bit more out of hand than you would have liked, so just kind of what was the feeling walking out of that one?
Walked out of that one knowing that we committed too many turnovers, and you know, we started flat and never really could get it all the way going.
Yeah, and then it's kind of a unique challenge this week. You don't see many short weeks at the college level, so just kind of what's it been like and just preparing in the short amount of time you have for this one?
Well, I think the main thing we were trying to do this week is just prepare mentally. We didn't do much banging around, if any, this week. You know, we were light on gear, pretty much trying to get our legs back and prepare for, you know, the short turnaround on Thursday night.
Yeah, and you get an Eastern New Mexico team that I'm not very familiar with. So just kind of what do you know about them?
We know that they have a unique type of attack. They're a triple option football team, which is going to require us to be extremely disciplined on both sides of the ball. We know that they're capable of limiting our offensive possessions to two times a half, you know, in some cases. So we're going to have to take advantage of all of our opportunities and try to get the ball in the box.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned a triple option. You don't get to face that very much. So just kind of what unique challenges does that present?
Well, you have to – everyone has to do their job repetitively every single play. You know, every single play, it's pretty much the same thing, and you can't afford to get lulled to sleep because they'll throw it over your head.
Yeah, my bad.
No, yeah. So, you know, that's the challenge. The challenge is staying awake, all right, and doing your job over and over and over again.
Yeah, and just defensively, what's jumped out on film from them?
Well, they have a unique skill set. They play with five DBs, considering they're in the triple option phase of things, so they don't really get a chance to see a whole bunch of open sets and things like that. So that's kind of odd to me, but they do play with five DBs and they're extremely skilled athletes. So the challenge is going to be finding where to fit the ball and trying to take advantage of some run lanes that we may create.
Alrighty, thanks, Coach.
All right, that was Lincoln head coach Jermaine Gales. Trevor, I'll just say it again, another lopsided loss last week. The Blue Tigers lose 63-5 to Missouri Southern. You and I kind of talked about it a little bit off air. I guess the only good thing is they played through to the final whistle.
Yeah, they ended the game on a 2-0 run. The final play of the game was a safety. So it took a 63-3 final to a 63-5 final.
That's better.
Yeah, major takeaways is there isn't many positive ones. They turned the ball over six times. I guess one positive takeaway we saw is they were 2-1 in time of possession.
Yeah.
40 minutes of time of possession, which is something we've talked about over the last couple weeks, is something they want to do to try and keep these games a little bit closer than they might get to, is just play some keep away.
Right.
It's harder for the other team to score when you have the ball.
Yeah.
Although Missouri Southern scored twice when Lincoln had the ball. So, yeah, there's that. So that kind of helps with time of possession when they're able to get 14 points on defense. But
yeah, a pair of pick sixes just made it even more lopsided than it already kind of was.
Yeah, got out of hand rather quickly. Xavier Vaughn had to go to the bench with a little bit of neck problems, so they went to emergency quarterback Damon Bell, and that's where the two defensive touchdowns came in. He had two interceptions, and they both went for touchdowns. So, yeah, it was not a great day at Dwight T. Reed Stadium, and I'm sure they're going to be kind of itching to get back out there to hopefully get a better result.
Yeah, again, we talk about it a lot, and you can get lost in the numbers sometimes because, again, the scores get so inflated that sometimes the actual stats don't matter. And I mean, you know, you look at it and go, okay, they gave up 455 yards. Not terrible in terms of, you know, what we've seen at times, but it's still not great. 275 for total yards gained for Lincoln, that's something. It's not like other past years where we've seen them, we just can't move the ball at all. So they're having some success. Like you say, if you could just get rid of those kind of free giveaways, then all of a sudden, who knows what you can do? Because again, if you're controlling the ball and you're getting some positive things done by racking up some yards, you know, it's pieces are there. Now, can you assemble those pieces into a complete puzzle? That's the big question, I think, for the Blue Tigers.
Yeah, there might be a few missing pieces to the puzzle, but you're not going to win any game if you turn the ball over six times.
Right.
That's an astronomical number, and I'm more worried about the four turnovers that came from the starters on the offense. They were coming off a game where they had zero turnovers, where it was a huge point of emphasis headed into the week of they can't keep shooting themselves in the foot.
Right.
They're already dealing with so much adversity and trying to play with kind of closing or reaching up, trying to close a gap against a lot of these schools. And when you give them the ball for free, that's just, it's not a winning formula for them. So, yeah, it was not pleasing to see them turn the ball over at the rate that they did and just kind of, I assume that's going to be a huge point of emphasis again headed into tonight's game.
So it drops the Blue Tigers to 0-8. We'll go to the Trevor ticker and say, how many losses in a row now is that for the Blue Tigers?
34.
All right. We click one more down. Now we're at 34. So the next chance to maybe end that streak comes tonight, like you mentioned. It's one of those rare, like, late season Thursday night games. You'll see this a lot of times early in the season for teams, especially first couple of weeks of the season when everybody's wearing to get going. You'll see a lot of Thursday night games. You don't see Thursday night games at kind of this late point in the schedule, so it is kind of a weird quirk that, you know, tonight at 7 o'clock at Dwight T. Reed Stadium, we'll be seeing Thursday night football.
Yeah, and it's against a team, I guess they're all non-conference this year, but not an MIAA team for the first time since 2018. So it's a team they've never played before in the history. So, yeah, headed into it, it's a matchup that we never really thought we'd see, and one we definitely didn't expect.
So I guess the big question everybody's probably sitting at home asking is going, why is Eastern New Mexico coming here for a game this late in the season? Have any can you shed any light on that question?
I cannot give you the answer of why it's Eastern New Mexico in general. Obviously, so this is an open week, not an MIAA team, because Pitt State did not want to play Lincoln this year because they felt their seeding in the postseason last year was affected by their strength of schedule.
Okay.
De facto Lincoln is what they're trying to say. So when Lincoln announced they were going to the GLVC, they planned to have this year as kind of more of these type of games, and they wanted to schedule it against other HBCUs. And from my understanding, the logistics did not work out for the other MIAA teams that did not want to play Lincoln to finding a game to fill that spot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only one spot, and it's Eastern New Mexico. And why it's them, don't 100% know the answer to that. But we'll find out about the Greyhounds tonight.
We will, and I think just the biggest thing is, at this point, you're literally just going off of kind of, okay, the first thing you do is you look at the schedule and you go, okay, what's happened there? Well, what's happened there is, you know, Eastern New Mexico has started out 3-0 and has since lost five straight. And I guess the big thing you say is, okay, maybe something happened and things are going south. But I will say that inside those five straight losses, it's not like there's a ton of ugly ones. There's been some close games. There's been some where it looks like, okay, that one was kind of a pick-em game, or that was a one-score game late, you know. So it looks at least like it's a team that, yes, comes in struggling, but it's not, you know, yes, their five-game skid doesn't look bad compared to Lincoln's at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely different. And like you mentioned, I think four of those five games have been within one possession. Like, they have been in all of those games, except for last week in their homecoming game. That one kind of got a little bit out of hand, but they only lost by 21, I believe. So,
yeah, to Texas A&M Kingsville.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a team that has shown that they can be competitive, and they move the ball well on offense. It's a triple option offense, something Lincoln has not seen so far this year. So that's the biggest worry outside of just kind of preparing for a game two days earlier than normal. But they're very worried about this triple option attack.
Okay.
Because obviously everything you know about triple options, they test your eye discipline big time, and that's something that Lincoln does not thrive in. So,
okay.
And it also tests your D-line depth, okay. And that's something that Lincoln struggled with. They are getting a couple pieces back this week on the defensive line, and CJ Douglas, this is going to have to be cut. Dante Moore, there it is. But yeah, they're getting a few pieces back there, which is going to help because they're really worried about, I guess, the Eastern New Mexico offensive line cut blocks a lot.
Okay.
And Gales referred to it as they're going to try and hurt you.
Okay.
I don't think that is the intention, but yeah, they're gonna test the depth. You're going to need to rotate a lot against an offense like this because they're going to run the ball a lot. They're almost 5-1 run-to-pass ratio. So it's going to be a completely different offense than Lincoln is used to. But on the bright side, they're going to face the same offense again next week in Nebraska Kearney. So okay. It's a little bit of a practice, you could say.
Okay. So I guess if you are worried about their offense, then again, we're going to try to probably have to keep away a little bit if you're the Blue Tigers. So I guess the from that standpoint, you look at it and go, okay, it is also a team that's given up its fair share of points in certain games. Now, again, we don't know if that is just based on the quality of, like, you know, they gave up 52 to UT Permian Basin. So we don't know if UTPB is great or if not, or if it's just one of those games where they just gave it up. Yeah, you know, mentioned the 35 they gave up to Kingsville, Texas A&M Kingsville last week, and then Central Washington 2 weeks before that was 38. So you go, okay, maybe there's an opportunity to get some points. If, like, say, if the offense can avoid those turnovers that they had last week, then maybe Lincoln is able to do something. The question is just how well suited are they going to be to do that?
So the number that jumped out to me is they're allowing over 6 yards per carry this season.
Okay.
And what I talked to Gales about and what they're going to try and do is they want to establish the running game early, which is something they say every week.
Sure.
They have a plan on top of that because they play kind of a 3-3-5 defense, kind of a stack. So they're going to have 5 DBs on the field, which kind of leaves lighter boxes that you can run into. They're hoping Eastern New Mexico stays in that and they can have some success in the running game, bring some of those defensive backs down into the box, and that's when Lincoln can get to the things that has succeeded in the little offensive production they've seen this year. Is you've seen Adarius Ely burn teams over the top, and something that might be to watch tonight, Adarius Ely has been double-teamed in, like, the entire time in each of the past, like, 4 games. I don't know if Eastern New Mexico is going to have the advanced scout that the MIAA teams have, and I don't know if they will do that the whole time. So
okay.
If you can get Adarius Ely in one-on-one coverage, he has shown time and time again in the 2 years I've covered him, he's going to win. He is very good in one-on-one and can high-point balls and can straight-up run past people. So their plan on offense is to try and get them to cheat to the running game and then start taking their shots downfield.
The bad news is if they listen to the News Tribune Football Podcast, they've now heard the scouting report and they now know what to do. So let's just hope that Eastern New Mexico has not done advanced scouting to find out about this particular podcast, because you just told them what they should do and will make things harder for the Blue Tigers today.
Yeah, and Les Gales just threw me a complete wild card and sent me on this goose chase.
He could be using you as a double agent. I don't know.
I doubt so. I think he's been pretty clear. He has said it every single week that he wants to establish the running game. And LaMarco Yates has kind of helped with that in the last few weeks. He's a big physical runner that can kind of negate some of the deficiencies they have in the running game with not opening up big lanes. He's the type of guy that can break 2 or 3 tackles on any given play. So I think they're going to be getting him involved heavily. And another thing that I heard is if they are not able to get them into cheating into the running game that they want, is they're just going to turn this into a run fest.
Okay.
So that'll be another thing that can kind of keep this clock burning and maybe not let this one get out of hand.
You mentioned that they might be getting some reinforcements back, but so let's just talk about it. How is the overall health of the team, and do we see any reinforcements coming back that maybe we haven't seen for a little while?
It doesn't sound like things are getting much better outside of the 2 names I mentioned that are coming back this week. So, and I did not hear anything of guys they're expecting back next week or the week after.
Okay.
So it seems like they're getting in a slightly better position, but the position's still not great.
Yeah. And the problem is for the Blue Tigers is you go, okay, yeah, you got to get past this week, and there's still 2 more after this one. So, I mean, it's just the season ends. It is a slog, and it doesn't seem like it's going to finish anytime soon, at least the way things are going. All right, so I guess it gets to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just ask you flat out, do the Blue Tigers snap that big streak?
I don't think they win, but now I got to come up with a score.
Okay.
So, we're thinking maybe that the possessions might be a little bit limited in this one if they can limit Chunk Gaines from Eastern New Mexico in their running game.
So, is that a guy named Chunk Gaines? Do they actually have a guy named Chunk Gaines?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Big plays in the running game. That's what we'll change it to. I will say Eastern New Mexico wins this one 38-14.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.